Anytime I expect other people to meet a need in my life that only God can meet, I'm going to be disappointed. Anytime you take anything, and we can even make good things idols. You can make your family an idol. And there's nothing wrong with your family. But anytime you look to any single person or any single thing in life to meet all your needs, you're going to be let down.
This is Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. In a time where tolerance is valued more than truth, every believer in Christ needs more than ever to know what it takes to build a godly foundation for their life. As we continue this series called Building My Life on Values That Last, Rick will look closely at the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love. In just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a book by Pastor Rick that's both spiritually uplifting and visually stunning. It's called The Purpose of Christmas, and it reveals the true biblical meaning of the season. You can find out more about how to secure a copy for yourself or for a friend just in time for Christmas by going to rickwarren.org while you listen to today's message. That's rickwarren.org, or you can just text the word daily to 313131 for more info. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Developing Trust.
Now, there have been a lot of books and a lot of magazines and a lot of articles out recently talking about the dramatic decline in trust in our society, that nobody really trusts anybody anymore. We are a cynical nation, a doubting nation. We tend to be wondering what's really the truth. We are skeptical of everything and everybody. A recent article I read this week was talking about the high price of low trust. Said that customers don't trust businesses anymore, employees don't trust managers anymore, and nobody trusts the government anymore. And they did a survey of the trust level in America and discovered that the least trusted professions in America are now, number one, telemarketers, used car salesmen, and at the bottom of the barrel, politicians. On the other hand, the two most trusted professions in America are, number one, pharmacists, and number two, pastors. So I'd like to sell you some medicine today, folks. Let me let you in on a little secret. You can't always trust pastors, and you can't always trust pharmacists, because people are people, and they will let you down. Now, what's behind this decline in trust in our society, where we really are skeptical of everything and everybody? We've heard all these bogus claims, and we've heard all these unkept promises. Why don't we trust people? The answer is what we talked about 2 weeks ago, truth decay. Our society doesn't value truth anymore. What they value is what works. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. And truth and trust go together. In fact, have you ever realized there's only one letter difference between truth and trust? You trust people who tell you the truth. And you don't trust people if you don't think they're telling you the truth. Now, in a society where most of the people say there is no such thing as absolute truth, that means you can trust absolutely no one. Because you can't depend on anything or anybody to always tell you the truth if there are no absolute truths in life. We talked about that fallacy a couple weeks ago. Now, it's interesting because that causes stress in our lives, because you were wired to be a person of trust. When God made you, when God created you, when He designed you, He wired you in such a way that you have the capacity and the desire to trust in something greater than yourselves, because He wanted you to have a relationship with Him. And I want to say this, if you don't learn to trust God, you will create something to trust in. It may be a diploma on the wall, that gives me my security. It may be money in the bank, that gives me my self-esteem. It may be a beautiful husband or wife on your arm, they are my source of significance. It may be a career, a goal, or whatever, but you will create something to worship. You will create something to value. You will create something to trust in. Now let me give you a little definition. Anytime I trust any person or anything more than God, or anytime I value any person or anything before God, That's called, you might write this down, an idol. An idol. That is a definition of idol. It's when I trust anything or anything or anyone else more than God. That's called an idol.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's rickwarren.org, or just text the word daily to 313131. That's the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
Christmas, where is the year gone? You know, a lot of us stress out around this time of year, losing sight of the real meaning of the season. That's why we'd like you to know about Pastor Rick's book called The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick shows you how Christmas is designed to meet your three deepest needs, and how receiving God's three Christmas gifts to you this year will transform your life forever. This book is one to be read every Christmas and to be shared with your friends who may not know the true meaning of Christmas. Let us send you a hardcover copy of the inspiring and beautifully illustrated book, The Purpose of Christmas by Rick Warren, as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. We're sure that God will use it to stir up hope, peace, and gratitude in your heart this Christmas season. Get your copy of The Purpose of Christmas right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's rickwarren.org or 800-600-5004. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
Now let me give you a little definition. Anytime I value any person or anything before God, that's called, you might write this down, an idol. That is a definition of idol. It's when I trust anything or anyone else more than God, that's called an idol. The second command of the Ten Commandments says, don't make any idols. Now why is that? Well, another place in the Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy, it says this. Notice on your outline. For your own good, don't sin by making an idol in any form. He says, for your own good. Circle that. He says, I want you to have a correct understanding of what I'm like. Have the correct image of me in your mind, because it's really for your own good. I want to ask three questions. One, what happens when I trust something else or someone else more than God? What happens? Number two, why does it seem so difficult to trust God? And number three, what are the reasons that I really ought to trust God with my life? Let's look at them this morning. Number one, what happens when I trust God more than anything else? Well, there are two negative effects. One, I'm disappointed. And two, I'm dominated. I am controlled. Disappointed and dominated. First, I'm disappointed. Anytime I expect other people to meet a need in my life that only God can meet, I'm going to be disappointed. Anytime you take anything, and we can even make good things idols. You can make your family an idol. And there's nothing wrong with your family. But anytime you look to any single person or any single thing in life to meet all your needs, you're going to be let down. It's the idea of, you know, if I could just get married, then I'd be happy. Anybody want to give a testimony on that? Okay. If I could just find that right person, my life would be totally fulfilled. That's creating an idol. Or if I could just get this job, or if I could just make X amount of money, then I would feel significant. Then I would be confident. Then I'd feel good about myself. Then life would be fantastic. You have just created an idol, and you're going to be discouraged by it. The Bible says this in Jeremiah, those who make idols are disillusioned, always, because they let you down. The Bible says in Hebrews, of what value is an idol? For he who makes it trusts in his own creation. He says it's crazy. We look at a person in the jungle who carves out a little god and then bows down and worships it. We say, that's dumb, you made it. But we do that all the time with our careers, with our relationships, with our bank accounts. And we act as if that's what gives us meaning in life. That's what gives us significance. That's what gives us self-worth. And you're going to be disillusioned. Now, as I said, you create something to worship. You create something to trust if you don't trust God. And it's pretty amazing all the things that people will trust instead of God. We spend billions of dollars every year on psychic hotlines, horoscopes, palm reading, tea leaves. We hang little crystals in our rooms, or we wear things around our neck, and we think that that's going to ward off all the bad things. Or we put a little statue on our car, as if that little statue can protect us. Look at what the Bible says. The poor, deluded fool is trusting something that can give him no help at all. Yet he cannot bring himself to ask, is this thing, this idol, a lie? He says, we're trusting, when we trust in anything besides God to take care of us, ultimately, we're going to be disappointed, we're going to be disillusioned, and then number two, we're going to be dominated. Notice the Bible says, you were controlled, circle that word, controlled by dead idols who led you astray. Now, what I want to say about this is that anything that you value most in your life, let's just say if I said, hey, make a list of the top 10 most important things to you and put them in order. Number one, what's the most important value in your life? Number two, number three, and all the way down. Whatever's in first place is your God. It's your God. And if it's not the God, you have just built an idol. And whatever is in first place in your life, whatever you value most, eventually controls you. That's why I suggest you better make it God, because he's the only one wise enough to give you the right directions. This is how addictions start. Something becomes so important, and pretty soon, I think I'm controlling it, but it's actually controlling me. Look at the next verse. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, those who make idols end up like them, and so does everyone who trusts them. Whatever you value the most in life, you're going to become like. So if I value money most important in life, I'm going to become a materialist. I can't help it. If I value pleasure most in life, I'm going to become a hedonist. If I value what works most in life, I become a pragmatist. If I value Jesus Christ most in life, I become a Christian. And on and on and on. Whatever you put in top value in your life is going to shape you. And if it's not God, it's going to warp you. It's going to warp you. Then why do we do this? Why do we, instead of just trusting God, why do we start trusting in all these other things to give our life meaning, significance, etc.? The reason we create idols is because we want a God we can control. What we want to do is we want to shrink God down so we can manage him. We want to reduce him to our size so we can put him in a little box. We want to assign him to a location, say, hey, this is your box, God, you're over there and I'm over here. When I need you, come help me. You see, really, we don't want a God in life. We want a genie. Okay, that's really what we want. I don't want a God that I have to serve. What I want is a God who serves me. I don't want a God that I have to worship and love. I just want a God who loves me and lets me do whatever I want to, irregardless of whether it's right or wrong. I want a genie. I want to control God. I want to assign him to a place. And people try to do this all the time. Well-meaning parents, I've heard several times in our church, after a service, the kids are running around here and they say, slow down, you're in God's house. Now I want to tell you something. This is not God's house. Even this big building couldn't hold God. God can't be contained in a universe. In fact, the Bible says real clearly, God does not dwell in temples made by man. God is not located in any one location. Now, we would like for this to be God's house. Why? Because then he could stay in his house while we go do what we want to do. Okay? God, I'm so glad he's not seeing me here at the Cowboy Boogie. You know? And so we want God to be localized in one little place. But he's with you all the time. He's everywhere. And so God says, don't reduce me. Don't make an idol. Don't just try to fit me into your convenience. Now, this is a very important question you need to ask yourself because it will determine your values in life. Do I exist for God, or does God exist for me? You have to answer it one of the two ways. Do I exist for God, or does God exist for me? Now, well, who made who? Well, obviously, God made you. So you exist for God. Now, if you say, no, God exists for me, you don't have a God, you have a genie. That's what you have done. You have created a little figment of your imagination. You have imaged him, imagined him. You've created an idol who serves you. Now, this is not new, because from the very beginning, man has been trying to do this. At creation, God said, I'm going to make man in my own what? Image. Okay? God says, let's make man in our image. And now today, we do the opposite. We've reversed it. Now it's man saying, I'm going to make God in my image. I'm going to whittle him down to size. I'm going to create a little fashion him in the way that I want. He's going to be what I want him to be so I can do my own thing. You see, the Bible says, this is the day the Lord has made. And today, culture's got it backwards. This is the Lord the day has made. And people all around are going, this is what God's like. This is what God's like. What are they doing? Justifying their lifestyle. They are paring down, they're idolizing God. I laughed at this when I read this a while back. A guy named Enrique Silberg, it was a news item, he petitioned the Superior Court in Marin County, you know, up in the Bay Area, to have his name changed. He now wants to be called God. So, can you imagine God speaking? He says, the court held a public hearing to, quote, see if anyone could show just cause why he should not be granted his request. Now, this isn't anything new. From the very beginning of time, man has wanted to be God. It's the very first temptation. When the devil comes to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he goes, hey, you know, if you just eat this one tree, God said you can eat everything else in the whole garden, but not one. So it's the minimal temptation possible. He said, just this one thing's off limits. Just why? So God could give him a choice between right or wrong. That's why he did it. He says, if you just eat this one tree, you will be evil. No, he didn't say that. He said, if you just eat this one fruit, you'll be God yourself. Give it here. Okay? I want to be God. Okay? And man has always wanted to do that, to play God. Now, since you know you can't be God, the second best thing we try to do is, if I can't be God, then I will whittle God down to my size. And I will reduce him so it's comfortable for me and fits my lifestyle. Now, this is what I call the ultimate expression of individualism. We talked about individualism in our society a couple weeks ago. The ultimate act of individualism is everybody gets to create their own God. You create your own God to match your lifestyle, and he says everything you do is okay. And what you don't like in other people, those are all the bad things. Okay? Then I create a God who says all the things that I like to do are fine, but all the things I disapprove of, that my God says those are wrong. And we each create our own little God. That's called making an idol. And God says, don't do that. Now, again, this has been happening for centuries. Did you know that years ago in the Roman Empire, as the decline of the empire happened, you could create any god you wanted in order to justify anything you wanted? So, for instance, if you like to get drunk every day and party and have hangovers, you could worship a god called Bacchus, the god of getting drunk. If you like to have sex 24 hours a day with anyone and everyone in any way, with no standards at all, total promiscuity, you worshiped a god called Venus. And if you had a style or lifestyle or habit that you wanted to justify, all you had to do was create a god in the Roman pantheon, and then he says it's okay. Now, we still do this today in America. We have some people who want to make a flag-waving god, who runs around justifying all their political opinions. God's on our side. It's God and the flag and me. We have other people who want to create a status quo God. It basically says, don't rock the boat. Everything's copacetic. Just leave it the way it is. There are certain people who want to create a success God, which says God wants everybody to be filthy rich so we can justify materialism. And on and on and on. But God says, don't do it. God says, don't reduce me down to size. Don't cut me into a little pieces. Don't misrepresent me. I want people to know the truth about me. Now, do you like to be misrepresented? No. In fact, when people say things about you that aren't true, you get ticked off. Why are they doing that? That's not me. And you know what? God gets ticked off when we say, this is what God's like, but he's not. He wants everybody to know the truth about him, just like you do. And he says, don't misrepresent me. Don't say I'm like this when I'm really this. And he takes it very, very serious. Now, there was a book that came out recently, and it's called How Do You Spell God? And it was written by a Catholic priest, a Jewish rabbi, and the foreword was written by the Dalai Lama. Now, you can't get more politically correct than that, folks. Okay? And in this book, How Do You Spell God? And by the way, HBO later took the book and made a special about it. Some of you may have seen that. They said, how do you spell God? And their conclusion was, you can spell God any way you like. Well, isn't that sweet? Okay? In other words, if I want to think of God as a fish, that's great. If I want to call him Charlie Tuna, great. If you want to say, well, I think God is some bodacious babe, fantastic. And that we all just create our own little God because God can be interpreted in many, many, many different ways. Now, folks, this is one of the most popular ideas in our society today, that God is anything you want him to be. That all of the expressions are equally valid and equally true. And that you can believe whatever you want about what God is like, but we have a real problem with it. Somebody forgot to tell God.
That's Pastor Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment with a final thought. With Christmas around the corner, we'd like to tell you about Rick's life-changing book, The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick uses surprisingly simple yet often forgotten biblical principles to remind us of the true meaning and significance of the season. Here's Rick to tell you more.
You know, at the very first Christmas, the angel announced three purposes of Christmas. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. That means Christmas is a time for celebration. And then, for unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. It's a time for salvation. And then, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It's a time for reconciliation, to restore our relationships to God and to each other, to experience the peace of God, to have peace with God, and to have peace with each other. I wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, and now I've just finished a new little gift book for the Christmas season called The Purpose of Christmas. It is the clearest presentation of the good news that I think I've ever written. It's a book that you can give to friends who don't know the Lord, who don't know Jesus Christ, who don't know the true meaning of Christmas. And so we've put it in a small format that you can sign your name at the front and sign the name to a friend. I hope this Christmas you'll pick up several copies and give them as Christmas gifts to your friends who would never go to church, or who don't know much about Jesus Christ, so they can understand the true meaning of Christmas and find faith in him. I dedicated the book to those who would accept and unwrap and enjoy God's Christmas gift to us, Jesus Christ. I hope you'll pick up The Purpose of Christmas and give it out to many people that they might find the true meaning of Christmas.
Get your copy of The Purpose of Christmas right now by going to rickwarren.org, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's rickwarren.org, or just call 800-600-5004. And thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.